Last week, we started part one of this message in the series, This Is What We Do. And we talked about an equation that is found in Proverbs chapter 3 that says that if you give God your first and your best, then he will make your barns burst and your wine vats overflow. Which means if you give God a tithe, if you give God your 10%, then God's going to take care of you. And today, as we go into part two of this message, we're looking at another equation that God has given on this very same topic of tithing. Now, as we explore this equation, we're going to be asking and answering this question. Isn't tithing an advanced level of following Jesus? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up the Bible app. We're going to turn together today to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is found in the Old Testament. We encourage you to be able to look it up on your Bible app with us. You can read it with us. But the words are also going to be up on the screen here in just a second to read it. In this passage in Malachi chapter 3, we're going to be reading in verse number 10. We're reading out of the New Living Translation. This is a message from God himself. And here's what God's saying. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Let's pray. God, I pray as we unpack your word for us today that you would help us to understand and that you would challenge us and that we would change. In Jesus' name we all said, amen, amen. So here at Focus Church, we've been noticing that when it comes to God's words and especially God's promises, that they end up being equations. They're if-then equations. That God promises us something, but there's something we've got to do. So if you do this, God will do that. And this is another one of those equations that we just read in Malachi chapter 3. So if we do what? If we bring the tithe into the storehouse, which you may be saying, tithe? I've never heard that word before. What's a tithe? Well, a tithe is simply our first and best. It's a mathematical term that simply means 1/10 or 10% of our income. And if we give that 1/10, that 10% of our income, what will he do? What's God's promise? Is that he will throw open the windows of heaven and bless us more than what we can handle. You know, but with this passage, God goes one step further. He says, try it. Test me. Now, in the Bible, there are only three times where God uses this language where he says, test me in this. Like he challenges us. And though two of those times deal with sin and arrogance. So this is the only positive test that God has put out there in the Bible. It's the only legitimate test of really testing who God is. God is so serious about taking care of you when he trusts him by repaying 10% that he challenges you. I imagine he's almost like one of those French guys from old that's got the white gloves and he pulls it off and he's like, slap, I challenge you. I've just pictured that in my mind. But you know what? It's important for us to understand this concept that God is the one speaking here. That this is not Focus Church. This is not Pastor Ryan and Pastor Shalee. This is not about that. This is about God saying, he's saying, I want you to do this. And it's his promise, and he's the one saying, test me in this. Now, we don't want you to just understand the tithe. We also want the next generation to understand the tithe. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to invite Pastor Shalee to join me up on the stage here. And in the next few moments, we're going to ask the kids that are in the lower level to come join us up here as we illustrate what it means to give God our first and our best, or our 10%. You'll notice up on the stage that we have two tables. There's a table over here that says God's table, and a table over here that says our table. So Pastor Shalee, will you join us up here?
I am. I'm coming.
Thank
right
you.
Now.
She's coming.
Pastor Ryan was fast this time. We're not quite.
She told me to go faster, so I did.
I did tell you to go faster, but you don't usually go quite that quick, Pastor Ryan. I'm going to run downstairs
okay.
and get the kids, so give us just 1 second.
I'll tell you what. because this is week four, we're going to make sure that you understand kind of a quick recap of some things we've discovered. Because you know what? This is not about opinion. This is not about what we think. This is about what the Bible says. And what we discover is that God owns everything. We're just the managers. That when we went all in and following Jesus, it wasn't just for fire insurance, but it's for this life now. And finally, you know, that if we do this thing of giving our first and best, that God's going to take care of us. And so we've got some kids who are bringing up some fruit, and we've got these watermelons. And let me just show you guys real quick. We got fruit coming up. Oh, no.
They I got heard some, a watermelon drop.
It could have. That might have happened back there. So, might be a little bit of happening back there right now.
So whenever we get increase, whenever something comes our way, God is asking us to give the first 10%. And so this first watermelon, she's already kind of putting it over here. We're going to take this watermelon and put it on God's table. And the rest of the watermelons are going to go on our table. So I'd like you to say this with me. Can you say God's table? Can you say our table? So these kids are coming up here. You guys can walk up here. There we go. You're going to hand it to Pastor Shalee. Then you're going to go down the stairs on the other side. And then you're going to... There we go. They're doing a great job. They're learning how to... You got to wait. Okay. So we got watermelons. We took the first watermelon and we put it on... That's right. And all the rest of the watermelons, we put it on our table. Okay, so it looks like the kids have some more fruit. We got packages of apples. There we go. So the first bag of apples goes on. There we go. So we're going to place it on God's table. And the rest of the packages of apples are going to go on our table. So you guys are going to hand that to Pastor Shalee. She's going to put it on the table, hand it to her. There we go. You're going to go down the other stairs and then go back around. Okay. Pastor Shalee, I think you might run out of room.
This table's getting pretty full over here, Pastor Ryan.
Oh, man.
I just barely have any space here.
These kids are coming up with
another watermelon.
Whoa, we lost a watermelon, and there it is. Oh, man, do you need some help here? Oh, there we go. There's a spot for it. Now, we got an interesting fruit coming up here.
Let me have one. Pastor Ryan, wait.
What?
That's like God will provide. We were short one watermelon, and somehow they magically got one up here.
Hey, that works. Now, this is a weird-looking fruit that feels really weird in your head. Does anybody know what this fruit is called? Cantaloupe. Yeah, that's right. So the very first cantaloupe goes on, I need to hear it, God's table. That's right. It's going on God's table. And the rest of the cantaloupes are going on our table. There we go. Very good. Very good. Kids are doing a great job here. They're handing it off to Pastor Shalee. She's figuring out how she's going to fit this fruit on our table. And it's almost like a big puzzle. We're going to see how good of a puzzle player, gamer, that she really is. Now, Pastor Shalee, we got another fruit here. And I'm sad to say that with this particular fruit, we could have picked just one of these. But we decided to pick a whole bag of these. We got a bag of cuties, some oranges here with no seeds, which is amazing. So the first bag goes on God's table, that's right. And the rest of the bags go on our table.
Pastor,
you guys are
we
getting this.
We could have just had a orange. You know
what? We could have done an orange, but you know, it's
table?
More exciting to do a whole bag of oranges. Oh, yeah. Here they come, all these bags of oranges.
This fruit's looking good to the kids, Pastor Ryan. They're over here telling me, like, I kind of want this.
You what?
I want that.
Oh, man. Those oranges look good right now. This is starting to make me hungry. Is this starting to make anyone else hungry? Like, yeah, the kids are like, yeah, I want this stuff. This looks good. Pastor Shalee, are you going to be able to handle all this fruit up here?
This is a lot of fruit.
Okay.
This is a lot of fruit, Pastor Ryan, and I hope that is all we have because my table is full. It's
look
overflowing.
At this.
Oh, cantaloupe, keep appearing.
Wow, there's another cantaloupe showed up. Okay, well, you got to figure out how to stick that on the table. Because
like
we already have a cantaloupe on God's table.
We already have it.
Okay. But you know what?
So
now,
the next
fruit we have is not a bag of lemons. Oh, man.
You want me to fit lemons over here?
Yes. So the first bag of lemons goes on. That's right, God's table. The rest of the lemons go on. Okay, I like the participation,
our
you know.
Table
if I do this, you say something.
Full,
okay.
Ryan.
We got it. Wait, oh, Pastor Shalik, can you go any faster? We got a traffic jam going on over here.
I'm working on it.
Oh, man.
Pastor Ryan, this is where like a mom of five.
I just saw the table start to dip.
Is it?
I think you're putting a lot of weight on. Whoa, the table is shaking. Be careful.
Table is shaking?
I saw the table
shaking. That's not a good idea. Table don't shake.
Oh, man. Well, at least like the bags of lemons can move around, but this next fruit I think is going to give you some trouble because the next fruit is pineapple. Who likes pineapple? Oh, yeah.
Pineapple.
So the first pineapple goes on God's table. The rest of the pineapples go on table. There we go, our table. Very good.
It is going to be hard. They're like,
it is
gonna
hard,
be
super yes.
hard over here.
Wow.
Super hard to get all look the pineapple.
Look at these pineapples. They
the
look
table.
So
There's
well
so
actually
many
I don't know.
Them.
Do pineapples look good? They look good on the inside, right? They taste good. Oh
these
yeah.
These are kind of pokey on the outside though.
They're
Pastor
pokey
Ryan.
On the outside, yeah.
Kind of pokey pineapple. Oh,
there
that's
we
kind
go.
Of a funny word. Pokey pineapple.
Oh man. Okay, Pastor Shalit, I'm glad that's it. That's all the fruit
that's
there.
That's all fruit, thank goodness.
But it's not because there's still a line of kids here. And in their hands, there's a big bunch
hey,
of bananas. Oh, yeah,
for
bananas.
God's table, and
wait.
Then for, oh, no.
No, the whole bunch. The first bunch of bananas goes on. That's right, on God's table. The rest of the bananas go on our table. Okay, kids, bring them over to Pastor Shalit. She's going to figure out how to stick all these bananas on
like,
our table.
This is like when your refrigerator gets full at home and you're having a party and you don't know where else to put things.
Right.
That's where I feel like we are right now.
You know,
now,
you can
Pastor
put the
Ryan.
Bananas upside down and it might stay on better, you know?
You think?
Like,
you think?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a suggestion.
They said
there
we could
go.
Make a fruit hat. Maybe somebody could come
a
up
fruit
here
hat.
And put some
oh, yeah.
on your head and I could.
Oh,
not
we
have
could have fruit salad
table.
If it all falls off that table. I don't know what's going to stay on this table, Pastor Shalit.
It might roll. We're
I'm looking at this table. This is a plastic table and it's bending in the middle. Can you guys
it's
see that out there?
It's kind of crazy. It's
sagging.
I hope that's all, Pastor Ryan. I got a lot up here.
But it's not because right here, the kids are bringing a box of strawberries.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Here we go, Pastor
So the
Ryan.
First box of strawberries goes on. That's right. The rest of the strawberries go on our table. Yeah. Okay, Shalit. Pastor Shalit, can you take these strawberries and get this into the pile?
They are working here.
The,
I am making
oh,
this
no.
Mama five
We do
kids.
Not want this to fall.
This is what happens.
Oh, man.
You learn how to
I'm
stack,
glad that strawberries is
go.
The last fruit in our
I
fruit
so
salad that
too.
We're building.
I'm really
is
glad
it?
Because it's getting
Wait,
kind of busy over here.
I don't see anyone else.
Hang on.
Behind me, I don't see anyone over there. I think this is it. There's more. Grapes. Great.
Grapes.
Oh, man. Look at this, Pastor Shalit. These are gigantic grapes.
Oh, my goodness.
They look so yummy.
Where are we going to put all of this, Pastor Ryan?
I don't know, but you know what? I do know where this first bag is going because it goes on God's table. The rest of the grapes goes on our table. Yes.
Our table is full, Pastor Ryan. Our
you know
table
what?
Has
I hope you're able to
too
do
many
this.
Things
Whoa.
On it.
Stuff was shifting. Okay, take it up
this.
To her. Take
we
it up
this.
To her. Oh, man. There's still a few more. We don't want this to fall. We don't want the table to break. Oh, man. Now, Oliver here has the very last bag of fruit. And this is really a test to see if Shalit can stack things really well. And so we'll know she's successful if when the last bag of fruit goes on there, if it holds for at least 5 seconds. Okay, so we're going to count down from 5 down to 1. And if everything's still standing after she puts this, hold on, Shalit. After she puts this last bag of fruit, we're going to go 5 down to 1. And if it's all still standing for 5 seconds, she wins. And we're going to cheer for her. Okay, you ready, Shalit? You got your spot
I'm
picked
looking
out?
I have a spot for this, but maybe right here.
Okay. To the place. Back up. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Get up for Pastor Shalit! Yeah! Wow.
Our table is so overflowing, Pastor Ryan.
Yes.
Nothing else could fit. And we better do something quick because it's going to fall.
It's going to fall. Oh, wow. See, sometimes when we hear something like giving our first 10%, our first 1/10, we think that's way so too much. That's too much. I can't afford that. But you know what? Sometimes we need to see just how big 10% is and just how big 90% is. And let me tell you, when we trust God by giving away 10%, he can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%. And he does it every time. Pastor Shalee, I think if we leave this fruit up here, it might break the table.
I think it's gonna for sure.
Yes, and so I'm thinking that everything that's on our table, I think we should share it.
Absolutely.
I mean, we got all these kids here, and they were such great helpers. What if we asked the kids to help us take this fruit and give fruit to every single person who's in this room?
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Yes. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You kids, you're going to start forming a line, and you're going to come up. Pastor Shalee's going to give you a piece of fruit. You're going to go out into the audience, find a person who doesn't have any fruit, give it to them, come back to the back of the line, and do it all over again.
This is the really important part. You got to find somebody who doesn't have anything.
Right. They
so you
got
to find somebody who doesn't have any fruit and give it to them.
Then hurry back in the line because it's going to take lots of times doing this. Okay, let's go ahead. Okay, then go down the stairs. Go find somebody. Come back in line. There we go. The pile's getting smaller. Go find someone who doesn't have fruit. Oh, man. Almost everybody out there doesn't have fruit right now. You get to bless them with some amazing fruit. Go ahead and find somebody for some fruit. When you're finished, come back to the end of the line. We'll give out some more. Oh, man. There we go. We got some pineapples coming. We got some bananas coming. We got strawberries coming. Oh, man. Find somebody. They need some fruit out there. That fruit looks good. Okay. Yeah. Help somebody get some fruit. Look for someone who doesn't
Pastor Ryan,
have fruit.
Look what's going out right now.
Oh, man. Bags of lemons. You know what? If Focus Church gives you a bag of lemons, you make
lemonade.
There we go. Oh, man. That sounds like fun. That sounds like work. Oh, man. There we go. Going good. We got some more strawberries. We got bananas coming. Kids, find someone who doesn't have anything. Give it to them. And then come back in line. Now we're getting to a point where there are people who have fruit and people who don't have fruit. So if you do not have fruit right now, will you raise your hand up high so the kids can find you? If you don't have fruit, you find kids, look for somebody with their hand raised, give them fruit. Okay, so when you go out to the audience, every single person gets something. There we go. Very good. We got bags of apples coming now. We got bags of grapes coming down. Bananas. Oh, yeah. A cantaloupe. Cantaloupe coming. Bags of lemons. Keep your hand raised if you don't have any fruit. The kids can come find you. So look, kids, look for people who have their hand raised. Oh, yeah. There we go. There we go. Getting there. Getting there. Cantaloupe. Strawberries. Apples. Cuties, oranges. There we go. Some apples are coming. Keep your hand up high so the kids can find you. I think we have almost everyone has something. Okay. Well, you know what, kids? We got these hands. You know what? We're giving people seconds. So if you see a kid who has something you want, raise your hand. Kids, find someone to give the rest of the fruit to, okay? We want someone to have two things, okay? Not everyone can have two things, but if you want something they have, because, you know, we got the good stuff coming. We got the pineapples. We got the watermelon. Oh, yeah, kids. See if somebody wants what you got. There we go. If you want a pineapple, you better raise your hand. If you want a watermelon, raise your hand. They're coming. It's about time to pass out these watermelons. They're the big ones. Oh, yeah. Find someone who needs some fruit. You can always use more fruit in your life. There we go. Oh, man. Oh, man. There's some kids trying to find someone to take lemons. Someone's trying to find someone to take a watermelon. Oh, yeah. There's watermelons coming. You want with us. Raise your hand so the kids can find you. Oh, man. Oh, wow. Who's excited for having fruit today? Yeah. Now, we made a promise. We said We said if you came today, you would get something from us, that we had a gift for you. And so we gave you fruit. And I apologize to those who are watching online because we tried to figure out how to stick apples through the lens, but it didn't work.
We tried.
Yes,
Pastor
We couldn't do it. That's why we said you had to be here in person. But you
all
know what?
All the fruit is out now, Pastor Ryan.
All
my
the fruit is out. That's amazing. Let's give it up for our kids as they helped us out today. Awesome, awesome. I know some of you are like, can I just go ahead and open it right now? I asked a teenager who got a bag of lemons last night, like, what are you going to do with it? He's like, I'm going to just open it up and eat it. I'm like, okay. Okay. He was happy, so I didn't want to, like, rain on that. But you know what? You know, we're talking about this tithing thing, and there might be a question that comes to your mind, and your question might be something like this. But, Pastor, did Jesus ever talk about tithing? Because you read out of the Old Testament, out of the prophet Malachi. But what about the New Testament? What about Jesus? Did he ever talk about it? And the answer is yes. Yes, he did. It's found in Matthew chapter 23. And let me tell you what's happening in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is meeting with a group of people, and inside the group of people, the crowd, there's religious leaders who are the Sadducees and the Pharisees of the time. They're Jewish religious leaders. And he wanted to address them about something that they were doing that he wanted them to fix. He's pointing out to these religious leaders in front of the crowd that, hey, there's something you need to fix. You're doing something wrong. Here's what it says in Matthew 23, verse 23. It says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So in the scripture, who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. He was talking to the crowd that was there. And because this moment in time was recorded in the Bible, guess what? We're a part of that crowd too. So he's talking to all of us that's listening to what he has to say. And this whole chapter, what he's describing, and I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 23 for yourself. It's homework. In this whole chapter, he's describing, you missed it. You're out of focus. You need to focus on the right thing. He's almost making fun of the religious leaders. He's like, you want to follow every little rule down to making sure you tithe, like your herb gardens. You're making sure a tenth of your herb gardens, you give that to God. But you're still missing the point. You're missing something important. He says, like, justice, mercy, faith. But also in this passage, did you notice? Jesus affirms tithing. He had the opportunity while he was speaking in this very moment to change the rules about tithing. And to put that in perspective for you, he did that quite often when he taught, that he helped people refocus and say, hey, you've heard it said, do it this way, but I'm telling you to do it this way. Let me give you a for instance, because there was a time where he said, hey, you may have heard it being said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And he says, but I tell you something different. Turn the other cheek. He was setting things straight and saying, focus on the right thing. And that means that in this moment when he's talking about tithing and he's affirming tithing, he had the opportunity to say, well, that's the old rule and you don't need to do it anymore. You need to focus on this instead. But instead, Jesus affirms tithing. He says, you should tithe. Yes, you should tithe. I don't know if it could be any clearer. I mean, we're talking about red letters in the Bible. Jesus spoke these words himself, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. But you may say, but I want to just give what I want. And Jesus really, I mean, even if he affirmed tithing, did he really say what the amount was or what the percentage was? Can I just like do part of it? But you know what? He does mention how much it should be. Why? Because he used the word tithe. And tithe, we said, is just a mathematical term. And tithe does not equal 1%, 5%, whatever you want. Tithe equals 10%, because that's what that word means. Wow. Some of you are like, pfft. Now, when you make a decision to follow Jesus, you're making a decision to say, I'm no longer the boss of my life, that I'm going to make God the boss of my life, and I'm going to be a follower. And from that moment on, though, there are things we have to do that if he really is the leader of your life, then you have to follow and do what he says. That's called obedience. I mean, you can't say, I follow you, when you don't go anywhere. Imagine for a moment these stairs that lead up to this platform. That stair number one represents the decision you made to go all in with God, to say, God, I'm making you the boss of me. You're the leader of my life. I love you. Thank you. Okay? But all too often, we find it easy to jump onto the first step, but we find ourselves that, hey, I don't want to do anything else you ask of me, God. I don't want to follow you, because after the first step, there's more steps. As a matter of fact, there's more levels of following God that just making the decision to say yes to God is just step number one. It's just the first thing. It's just the first level. But all too often, we are satisfied with just hanging out on the first level, saying, I want to do the bare minimum of what it takes to follow Jesus. I just want to do the bare minimum to get into heaven. I want to do what I want here. But that's not what it means to be a follower. God has more levels for you. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to be leveling up with God all the time, and you're not supposed to stop. There's never a point that we arrive. There's never a stop. There's never a plateau. We're supposed to continue leveling up with God until we meet Jesus one day. As a matter of fact, there's a theological word that describes this process of leveling up and going up to your next level with God. The word is sanctification, the process of becoming more like Jesus. And we don't stop this. Now, this is not a ranking system. This is not like I'm a better Christian than you are because I'm level 47 and you're down at 15. It's not about that. It's about us recognizing that there's more in front of us, that God has more for you, that he wants you to continue climbing, continue stepping. And some of you are wondering if I'm going to continue stepping or fall off the stage. I didn't. But here at Focus Church, we want to help you get to your next level with God and continue that process. Today, we celebrated 5 people who went another level in being obedient to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who said we should get baptized. They were walking in obedience with us. In anything that we want to do, there are things we've got to do in order. I think about my daughter, Riley, who is a gymnast. This year, she is at level 10, which is the top level in USA Gymnastics. And they do some hard stuff. And like, she's preparing to go to college with it. But 11 years ago is when she started her gymnastics journey. And when she started her gymnastics journey, she had to learn the most basic skill to begin with. And the most basic skill in gymnastics is one involving a bar that's called a pullover. And a pullover is where you spin over the bar and pull yourself up. So it's a move that's any move that you're going to do in gymnastics, you first have to conquer the pullover. Not just conquer, you have to master. Now, Riley was struggling being able to do this skill. She was not getting it at practice. So Shalee and I, we looked and thought, what can we do? And so what we did is we bought a mini bar, painted it all pink, and we removed the dining room table from our dining room, and we set up the bar in our house and turn our dining room into Riley's private gymnastics gym so she could practice over and over. But let me tell you, Riley would try and she would fail. She would try and she would fail, and she would get upset. And you know what she kept on telling us? She kept on saying, I can't. I can't. I can't. Over and over and over. We had to finally say, there's a new rule here, Riley. in our personal gymnastics gym. We got a rule here in the dining room that if you're going to say I can't, you need to add three letters to the back of the end of that. Y-E-T. Yet. He's like, and so she tried, and she failed, and he said, I can't. Yet. I can't. Yet. I can't. Yet. And she would do this over and over and over. And one day, she did a pullover by herself. And we actually captured it on film, on video. And I actually have the short clip that I want to show you on the screen of Riley doing her first pullover by herself after many, many times of trying and failing and saying, I can't yet. And it happens quick. So let's take a look at Riley doing her first pullover.
You did it by yourself.
Wow. Now that happened really quick and you might have missed it. But this time when you look at it, I want you to focus on her face. Look at her expression. Let's take a look at Riley doing her first pullover.
You did it by yourself.
There's a smile there, isn't there? Oh yeah, she did it. And she did it and yet came to pass. And now, 11 years later, she's doing some crazy stuff when it comes to the bars. As a matter of fact, I got some footage to show you of what she was just doing a week or so ago and how she's practicing for her competition seasons coming up at the end of this year. Let's take a look at her skill level now.
Come on, Rye. Yeah!
Oh, yeah. Now, what you just saw in that video, she would not be able to be doing any of that unless she started with the first thing. That she had to master the first thing and had to build skill upon skill upon skill over 11 years to get to what you just saw right there. You know, there's some of you that as we've been talking about tithing and about giving, you're saying, Pastor, I see where you say in the Bible, I'm supposed to do this. And you say, I understand. I actually agree with you, Pastor, that this is important, that we should do it. But you know what? We also then think in our mind that I can't yet do that. And you know why we say I can't yet? Because when we look at this area of tithing, of giving 10% to God, repaying Him, being obedient in this area, we picture in our mind that giving a tithe is advanced Jesus following. That we got to do the basic stuff first, Pastor. And one day, I hope to get to the advanced level. I hope, Pastor, one day, maybe 11 years from now, that I'm at the advanced level. But did you notice that in this passage in Matthew chapter 23, that's what Jesus changed? He didn't change whether or not we should tithe. What he changed was where tithing ranked in order. Why? Well, he said, you should tithe. Yes, Jesus puts it in his place, though. He says, but do not neglect the more important things. Wait, what? There's things more important than tithing? Well, what are the more important things? He says, justice, faith, mercy. That those things, that's the advanced thing. And tithing is the beginning stuff. You see, in this passage, Jesus doesn't just affirm tithing. Jesus puts tithing as a basic level in following him. He says, it's down here. It's like, if you want to work on faith, you're getting it out of order. You want to work on mercy, you're getting it out of order. If you want to work on justice, get it out of order. This is first. Yeah, you should do this. He kind of talks about, it's like, yep, it's understood. This is just what we do. This is what we do. And then let's go advanced. This is what Jesus is saying to you and to I. So there's something we need to understand when it comes to this topic of tithing. I think it might be a statement that looks like this, and it's found in the box in your notes. It says, I understand that repaying my tithe isn't being generous. It's being obedient. The next 2 weeks, we'll talk about what it means to be generous. But right now, we're talking simply about being obedient. We're simply talking about being a follower of Jesus. I began to share a few weeks ago how, for me, my journey in being obedient in this area did not take the path that you might imagine it would. You would say, Pastor, you're a pastor. You probably have this whole Jesus thing figured out. Well, no. You see, I grew up in a home with parents who loved Jesus. We went to church. I knew my parents give. I knew my parents tithe, but I never had a job or anything growing up. So when I became an adult, you know, I found out adulting is expensive. And I'm like, well, God knows. And I pictured it as an advanced thing, that I'll get there someday. Now, here's what's really funny is that God called me to be a pastor, and I became a pastor, and I did not do a basic thing. I didn't tithe. I mean, I tithe when I could, when I can afford it. But I'm like, God, I'll get there one day. And I spent 10 years as a staff pastor serving God, serving churches. And yet I wasn't doing the most basic thing Jesus is asking, that God's asking me to do. I wasn't being obedient in this area. We say, Pastor, well, what changed? What changed was I had a pastor in my life at that time who said, Ryan, I'm going to show you what the Bible says. Don't go off what you think or what you think you know or what someone else's opinion is. Let's go off what the Bible says. And he showed me the same things that I've been showing you through this series. And it changed my mind. It changed my thinking. But there's one thing that he did that pushed it over the edge. And I want to show you what it is. Over here behind the screen, I've got a hula hoop. And some of you right now are hoping that I've got some mad hula hoop skills and I'm going to demonstrate something, right? No, that's not what I'm doing. I can't keep it up to save my life. Like, I would just die if my life depended upon it. But here's a hula hoop here, and I'm going to take this hula hoop and I'm going to place it on the ground right here. And I want you to imagine for a moment that God is looking down and he's looking at the circle that is formed by this hula hoop. What we've done is we've created a zone. And for the matter of this illustration, we're going to call this zone the blessable zone. Okay? That if somebody is in this zone, God can and God will bless them. So you know where I want to be? In the zone. If God's looking down right now, he's like, ooh, Ryan's in the zone. Psh, blessing. So how do we get into the zone? Well, there's an equation. That if we bring the tithe into the storehouse, we bring the 10%, if you give your first and your best, what is happening is you are placing yourself in the zone. And when God looks down, he's like, boom, blessing. It's yours. You've put yourself in the right spot. Now, this is a good place to be, but there's only one way to get in. But you know what's really cool about this zone? Is that if you are in the zone, the blessing is automatic. Like, it will happen. Like, it's such a sure thing. That's why God put the test in there saying, hey, test me in this. Try it out. I challenge you. I double dog challenge you. Because when you give your first and your best, when you give your tithe, when you give that 10%, you're saying, God, I trust you with everything. And you're stepping into the zone. And God's like, oh, there's Ryan in the zone. Boom, blessing. Takes care of me and my family. You know, I actually think that maybe we have no business asking for God to bless us or take care of us financially if we're not in the zone. Right? Because there's the guarantee. But if I'm not purposely stepping into the zone by doing what God asked me to do, then I'm no longer being obedient. I'm being disobedient. And can God bless disobedience? Well, there's some of you, you would say, Pastor, I know based off your illustration and what you've been teaching, I don't tithe. So that means I'm not stepping into that zone. But I know that God has still blessed me. Let me explain how that works. If we're in the zone, 100% guarantee you will be blessed. Outside of the zone, dealer's choice. God can choose to bless you. God could choose not to, but it's not guaranteed. You're saying, God, overlook the fact I'm not listening to you or obeying you. Will you give me mercy and help me out? Is what we're asking. Some of you might say, well, what if I don't want blessing in my life? I have what I need. I'm good. I make enough. I feel like I'm already blessed. I don't need more blessing. But let me tell you, every single one of us is guilty of wanting more. That we dream of being blessed. You say, no, Pastor, I'm pretty sure I've never had any dreams of a blessing because I don't ever use that word. No, think about this. Have you ever made a list of what you would do if you won the mega lottery? Have you ever thought, wow, if I could just win the lottery, well, this is what I would get first. This is what I would do. This is how I'd structure it so I wouldn't have to pay as much taxes. And would I get the payments or would I get the lump sum? You know, we've thought this. And then we start reasoning with ourselves. We're like, God, don't you want to bless me with the lottery? I mean, I promise I'll make a deal with you. I'll give back part of it. You want 10%? I'll give you 10%. You want 50% of it? I'll give you 50% of it. How's that, God? You can bless me with the lottery. But then we realize that you have 0% chance of being blessed through the lottery if you don't have a ticket. And so then we buy a ticket. We say, you know what? God can't bless me if I don't have a ticket. So I better buy a ticket just in case God wants to bless me through the lottery. But you know what we're doing? We're trying to buy a fraction of a percent chance that we can be blessed through this method. And we hang our hopes and dreams onto that, a fraction. And let me just tell you that even if you buy 2 tickets, it doesn't double your chances. It actually makes them less because the lottery is taxes for people who don't understand statistics and math. Okay? Some of you get that joke. Some of you are like, I don't get it. Okay? But here's where we're at. Sometimes we would rather hang our hopes and dreams and our livelihood and our ability to make it and provide for our family on a fraction of percent when God's saying, I'm giving you a way that 100% of the time, it's going to happen. You just got to do this. 100% of the time, you're stepping into the zone. You see, why is this considered a basic thing, though? Because we're showing God in a tangible way. God, I trust you with everything of me, not just my spiritual side, but even my ability to live. I trust you. I'm being obedient by giving my first and best. I'm being obedient by giving my tithe. And so that places us in the zone God will bless. But every time you get paid, every time you receive increase, every time a new fruit comes into your life, you know what happens? If you were already in the zone, guess what? Boom. You're outside of the zone. Every time you get paid. And you have the opportunity to show God once again. Are you going to step into the zone? Do you trust God? And when you do, you step in. Blessing. Guaranteed. Every time. If we give God the tithe, the 10%, then God will throw open the windows of heaven. He will pour out blessings so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. And he says, try it. Put me to the test. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take a moment to talk to God about this. God, we've been challenged today. We've been challenged through this whole series on our view of what it means to give, what it means to tithe, a perspective change of who owns it, who's the owner, who's the manager. God, it's been blowing our minds. And for some of us who already are obedient in this area, God, I pray that what we have just taught just affirms and challenges us to say, I'm never not going to be in that zone, that I'm going to make sure I'm all in all the time, that I get an opportunity every time I have increase to show God you're number one. Maybe it's made a difference for those in here who've never considered that this is a basic thing, not an advanced thing. That we can't even get to the advanced things of God unless we're doing the basic things of showing God we trust him and giving you the chance, God, to show that you will come through with your promise. God, there's some in this room and some watching online that are challenged with this idea that you are so serious about taking care of us that you actually challenge us to test you in this. God, I pray that you would grow our faith just for a smidgen more, to be able to trust you with our livelihood, to trust you with what we have, to be obedient with you, recognizing that no matter where we are in our faith walk with you, God, this might be the thing that's holding us back for more of you, because we're missing a basic thing of following you. God, I pray you change our hearts. Help us to grow. Help us to get to our next level with you. Help us to be obedient and giving our tithe. And God, show us just the surety that you have that 100% of the time you will provide. We love you, God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that we said at the beginning, if you came today looking for hope, hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope. We celebrated today people getting baptized, showing they've already prayed this prayer and made a decision to put God as leader of their life. We've been talking today about putting God as number one and being all in with him. But the very, very first step, the first step on the whole staircase to meet Jesus is saying yes to God. And I want to give you the opportunity for that. So at this time, I want to help you with this prayer, this conversation we have with God, where we make this decision, where we say, I'm sorry, where we believe, and where we go all in. So I'm going to pray this prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to encourage you to pray it out loud, repeating after me. But you're not praying alone, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us. We are focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so let's pray right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.